Blog Talk Radio. Discover Obama's roots in his past that he had carefully hidden. Lots of money were spent to hide and bury everything that there was. And no one may ever know whether Barack Hussein Obama is eligible to be president. But we're stuck with him because he's been with us like a bad case of cancer and he ain't going away. But we do know that there's been many different birth certificates released, a lot of subterfuge surrounding his college transcripts, and that no one really remembers him from Columbia University. And there's only one way to really ever put all of that to rest. He's not going to release the documents. So that leaves us all wondering, was Barack Hussein Obama II, Il Duce, born in Hawaii? There's been a lot of discussion. Was he born in the 50th state? They can't even find a way to name anything after him. Not even a sewage treatment plant. Or was he born in Kenya, where someone held Barack to the sky and said, we shall call him Barack, and we shall call this place Hawaii. Either way, he was named Barack Hussein Obama, according to his mom. And really, all we can say is, you know, our moms are the only ones who know who our fathers are. Truly. And somehow, he managed to become an adult. Managed to make it through childhood without sticking a fork in an electrical outlet. Or angering his father to the point that he didn't thrust him in front of a lion to be eaten or die in a tragic hunting accident. During his formative years, young Barack became known as Barry, allegedly short for Barack, or in honor of Mr. Manilow, given his time in the Chicago bathhouses, who really knows. And he changed his name to Satoru, as he was adopted by his mother's husband of the same last name. And it was at this time that Barry enrolled in Occidental College, oftentimes referred to as Oxy. After a stint there, and no one really knows much about Barry or Barack there, he went to New York City, where by his own admittance, he was homeless and on drugs. Well, he was on drugs during junior high and high school, too, by his own admittance. But while in New York, a young stoned Barack, with no place to go, ran into a Pakistani. You know, the one he's been pictured with on the internet, on the couch. Two peas in a pod, two guys in a bathhouse, whatever. Barry and the Pakistani, although Barry was homeless, somehow managed to travel to Indonesia to visit some of Barry's family. Now, plane flights are expensive, but he had the money to be homeless. But flew to Indonesia and won't explain where that money came from, Saudi Arabia. And he and his traveling companion went on to Pakistan, or Pak something. And they know what went on to in Pakistan. However, anonymous sources within and outside the military have shared and shed light upon the transformation of Barry Satoru from homeless drug addict, alleged homosexual, aimless college dropout, to Barack Hussein Obama, world traveler, now president of the United States of America. You see, in 2005, the U.S. military became aware of certain allegations regarding Barack Hussein Obama. An Al-Qaeda operative, disclosed to an operator within the military that a man named Baraka, spelled B-A-R-A-C-K-A-H, Obama, would be made president of the United States of America. Now, keep in mind, this was in 2005 that the military became aware that a man named Baraka would be made president of the United States of America. That this jihadist had informed this operator when he was pressed further that the title Baraka and all the power and influence that goes with it were given to the American by bin Laden himself. In 1981, both Osama bin Laden and Barry Satoru were in Pakistan, who vacations in Pakistan, aside from the young man who left America as Barry Satoru and returned as Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, really, who goes to Pakistan? Hot vacation destination that it is. I mean, come on, and let's face it, dirt and outdoor plumbing can be found in a lot more attractive places around the world without all the Muslims and the Durka Durka. Ah, la, 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 boom. So when the reports were written and moved along to counterintelligence, they went straight in the garbage can, according to my anonymous sources. 2005, the U.S. Military Counterintelligence Unit had information about Barack Obama, who was anointed Baraka by America's number one Mossad terrorist, and the reports ended up in the trash. The tossing aside of this information occurred well after the Philadelphia meeting of the Muslim Brotherhood in America, long after the horrors of the September 11, 2001 attacks, and long after the November 2002 letter from Osama bin Laden to the American people in the counterintelligence unit never thought that this warranted looking into. Wow. They didn't even bother typing the name into Google. And they knew Osama bin Laden was really named Osama bin Mohammed bin Awad bin Laden, and he was a strict Wahhabi Muslim. But they did nothing. Now we have Barack Hussein Obama as president, a man who is bestowed with the title and blessings of Baraka. And keep in mind that Edward Snowden has been saying that Osama bin Laden was not actually killed by Barack Hussein Obama, but he's actually alive. Now, we couple this with rumors and soon-to-be Snowden's book coming out regarding this. And Snowden seems to have been pretty accurate so far with his other releases of intelligence. So one has to give some credence to this. And I know, having written the articles for National Papers regarding this, that my sources were vetted and verified. And the very next day after I reported the information I just announced to you about Barack Hussein Obama, that I had FBI visitors at my door taking pictures of my vehicles, demanding I retract my story. And when I told them to get off my lawn, no warrant, no attorney, no conversation, bye-bye, thanks for playing, I got a call from my editor, followed by an email from the legal department at the Examiner telling me, you don't work for us no more, we pulled your story, and we don't want you to talk or write about this. You've been subjected to a blanket, basically, they told to shut up, no longer allowed to speak about this, gag order, silence, shut up. And I went, So I've been writing about it and talking about it for a long, long time now, almost a decade, because I don't work and play well with others, and I don't shut up. So now it's back out there again, and I'm surprised that the phone's still working and we're still talking. But let's move along, because we have another part of Obama's life to unravel. unravel that occurred way, way back before then. Obama, the other day at his gun town hall, continued to lie about himself, said that he was a constitutional law professor, and that's a lie. John Lott was on with Mark Levin the next day, and John Lott just happened to be a professor at the University of Chicago at the time, a research professor, and he said that Barack Obama was not a professor. He was a lecturer. He lectured 3 hours a week. And in Karen McQuillan's American Thinker article from January 10th, there is a wealth of information regarding Barack insane Obama's, the Barackas, lie about his being a constitutional law professor. He was not a professor. He was a lecturer. He didn't have the qualifications to be a professor. You see, Obama never published a single law paper. He was hired by the University of Chicago when they learned he'd been given a book contract on race and law directly after graduating from Harvard. But there wasn't a book, just a contract, which Obama reneged on. Reneged. Obama has reneged a lot. It seems that that's been a theme in his life, to behave in a niggardly manner and renege a lot on things that he has promised to do. Not the normal level of accomplishment for a University of Chicago professor or even a lecturer. Obama was not capable of writing, and eventually, after failing to deliver, he changed it to a memoir, and he struggled with that. Finally, he asked his friend, Billy the Bomber Ayers, to write the memoir for him. In using tapes that the first grifter, Michelle, dropped off at the Ayers's, Billy the Bomber Ayers wrote it for him. But let's not stop there, shall we? Lie number two from the other night. Obama said he was a constitutional professor. No, 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 no. He didn't specialize in the Constitution. Obama only cared about and taught one subject. Guess what it is, kiddies? Raise your hands. Anybody in the chat room know? I don't see anybody with their hands raised. Nobody calling in. I'll tell you, I won't wait for the surprise. Race. I'm guessing people listening must have known. Of course he taught about race. It's on this flimsy basis that Obama attempts to pawn himself off as a constitutional scholar. The man who says that the Constitution is that piece of paper. He can't even refer to it as the Constitution when talking about the Constitution out of fear that he might burst into flames. As the New York Times explains, Obama the lecturer taught three subjects only: race, rights, and gender. His traditional course was in the due process and equal protection areas of constitutional law, the New York Times states. He imitated the way clueless white people talked. Why are your friends at the housing project shooting each other? He asked in a mock, innocent voice. Wow. So he was racist and mocking even in his lectures. And lie number three, when Obama calls himself a constitutional law professor to imply that he loves the Constitution, Obama gives the lie to this himself. He is on record, literally, in a radio interview done when he was a lecturer, slamming the Supreme Court's interpretation of the Constitution because they never tried to invent a right to redistribute wealth, a failing he describes as a tragedy of the civil rights movement. Obama laments the constraints on government power, what he would call liberty, imposed by our Constitution. Obama himself contrasts following the Constitution with being a community organizer, creating coalitions of power which could redistribute wealth and create economic justice. Thank you, Karen McQuillan, for drawing our eye to this. Bravo. Barack, insane Obama, you dirty bastard. You are absolutely filthy. And just as a brief interlude before we move along, I want to say as a side note to Sean Penn, who helped capture El Chapo after giving up all of his guns to have them melted down and made into a sculpture like a true liberal, you realize that they didn't capture all of his cronies. And criminal enterprises don't like snitches, and now you're an unarmed snitch. I take it you won't be making any more movies, but probably will be nominated for your first and only Darwin Award this year. Bravo, Mr. Penn. Moving right along, we have many, many other things that we need to talk about, like the Obama administration sticking their nose into states' issues, like in Hawaii for the last 5 years, where they have been pushing race-based elections, trying to get the Native Hawaiian community through the Department of Interior filing amicus briefs, basically friends of the court briefs, to perhaps influence the state's constitution through the Supreme Court of the United States of America to allow the Hawaiians to usurp their governing authority in the state of Hawaii and be a precedent for other race-based groups to do the same. For example, it would allow New Mexico, which is half Hispanic, to argue that only the Hispanics should be able to vote for Hispanic leaders in that state. What would happen in California with the Hispanics, or Minnesota with the Muslims, or in other states where Obama is importing Muslims left and right? If he were to get this approved, think about that. If he were able to get this pushed through, what sort of evil could be accomplished by having race or religion-based preferences pushed upon the voting public if SCOTUS approved it? This is backdoor Sharia law coming to the United States of America based upon a tipping point of 50% or better in the Islamic population, and it's being done by their spreading out the Muslims that they're pushing into the United States. Yep. Isn't that wonderful? I think so. Don't you? No, not really. Pay attention, people. Quit watching the last season of American Idol. Stop with the look at the birdie and pay frickin' attention. You are about to fall under an Islamic caliphate, and if you don't pull your heads out of your posteriors, it's going to be too damn late. Now, next up, the ATF's coming nightmare with Obama. People are saying, there's no real effect on ordinary citizens with what Obama is proposing. Guess what? Wrong. Everything that Obama is proposing is wrong. If you have a gun collection and die, what do you think is going to happen to your gun collection? Your family just became a dealer. Your estate, when those guns go to pass to your family, your estate is now a dealer. And will have to apply for a federal firearms license, except you're dead, so you can't apply for a federal firearms license. And a state is not allowed to get a federal firearms license. So when your state applies for a federal firearms license, the ATF is going to come get your guns. Or your family becomes criminals and disseminates those guns in accordance with your will, which if you file, because you're in a state where you have to file your wills and disseminate based upon your appropriate laws for disseminating and busting up your property, you are going to be F-diddly-F'd. Because, well, you just can't do what you want with your property anymore. And the ATF is going to call you a gun dealer for dealing in those firearms. The ATF says, we have to judge every case individually based on their merits. Trust us. Do you really trust the ATF and the government regarding guns? No. This is a generational way to get guns away from us older Americans who won't turn them over until we're out of ammunition. But our children might not feel so strongly, and our grandchildren definitely won't, because the government schools have turned them into, as Colonel Ralph Peters would say, pussies. So they, and by they, I mean Valerie Jarrett and Barack Obama, slid this in there knowing full well that through the deaths of 45 and older, they would be slipping us generational gun theft. Kiddies, we're just beginning. So say with me the prayer, because we must be shepherded. And who else but my favorite liberal with guns to say the prayer with us as we part ways, and we'll see each other again Thursday. God bless you, and God bless America, and God bless Samuel L. Jackson.
Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
this. Here I go, all right. It's the American Honky Tonk Bar. Calls for a little more than a coffee pot. If you mean to pour your heart out, try to rectify some situation that you're facing.